But yeah, I've had moments where, like, I'm trying to think, who am I, like, oh, like Sid Sweeney. She's, I've like been able to really create a relationship with her, and she's a pro at what she does. She could be in character like that, but I also feel like she could come out of character too, and I could get a very genuine moment of like, oh, that's so Sid. That's just Sid being Sid.
Hi guys, welcome back to the first English episode of the Analog Times podcast. And it's because I have a guest not from Germany today, but from very far away from Los Angeles. It is Mr. Eddie Chan. Hi Eddie, it's so, so nice to have you here on the show.
Giannis, thank you for having me. That's a cool intro, man. Yeah, you have a great voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I have a great voice. You have another very, very amazing gift because you're one of the photographers that I looked up the most during the last, I'd say like 2 years. Yeah, it was like 2 years ago when I started watching Euphoria. And I don't know how, I think through the HBO Insta account or somewhat, I came across your name and your work, obviously. And I remember asking you a few years ago if there was any chance for you to provide a series for my print magazine, The Analog Times, which sadly, due to HBO restrictions, wouldn't work. But when I started the podcast here, I knew exactly that this might finally be the chance to do something with you. And I'm very, very honored and pleased that you're here.
Hey, I'm very humbled. Thank you for having me. That's so nice of you to say. And I think it's so cool that, you did that little, the publication, the zine, and then now you're, doing a podcast. I think, sometimes I look at people, I'm like, how do you guys have the bandwidth to like do all sorts of creative things? I feel like photography takes over my whole life. And like, I feel like I can't do anything else but photo. It's so funny. I don't know. Some people can multitask. I can't. I'm just like a one track kind of person. So, yeah.
Yeah, but that one track seems to work out just fine for you because, like I mentioned, you are the set photographer of the big, huge, amazing HBO series Euphoria and a bunch of other cool stuff. How does one become HBO's main guy for their crazy ass shit?
Well, HBO is a great network to work for. They have such amazing content. They really push the envelope, even to this day. HBO has been around for so long. Home Box Office, that's such a cool name.
And I didn't even know that it was Home Box Office.
Yeah, what a rad name, right? That's what it stands for, Home Box
crazy.
Office. So yeah, it's really like watching theatrical, stuff in your own home. How did I become the Euphoria photographer? I was hit up by Craig Califat over there at HBO. He's a photo producer in a photo department, and this was for the pilot of Euphoria. So the first episode that they shot, this was back in June of 2018. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a long time ago, June of 2018, and I think we started shooting in November of 2018, like the actual, series that got picked up. But yeah, he reached out to me, and I think he's seen, some of my photography on TNT's Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom is like this family crime drama show, and that was the first show I kind of started shooting film on. I took, my old film cameras to set, shot a couple of rolls and turned it in. And, I was really struggling at that time as a still photographer, working as a still photographer. I was struggling creatively because I felt like everything looked the same in our line of work. It's just these very clean and clinical digital shots on set. And And those shots are fine. And I think publicity, you know, they need those shots to promote the show in a certain way. And but it was all this very inside the box thinking, like, oh, only these types of shots work. It has to be like a big master, you know, shot, or a shot, you know, close up on somebody, a coverage shot of a certain talent. And it's like, yeah, that's all fine and stuff like that. But like, to me, it was very just, it was very creatively stunting and stifling. It was like, okay, cool, I'll get you that kind of stuff, you know, because it's part of the job. But I'll also turn in some stuff on film and just make it more vibey, you know, make it kind of like not so much only just behind the scenes or in scene, but kind of how do I create these images that kind of live in the middle, where when the viewer looks at it, they're kind of like, is that in scene or behind the scenes? I can't really tell, you know. It's like they look like they're out of character, but then I see this boom mic in the shot, so what is it? What are they doing here? So I like to have the viewers kind of question that. And so anyways, I turned in a bunch of film shots on that show, Animal Kingdom, and they were like, this is great, can you shoot more film? I'm like, yeah, I'll shoot more film, but you gotta, you know, it costs money, you gotta pay for it, you know. That was just a freebie, you know, a two-roll freebie. So Animal Kingdom, I did that for many seasons, and then Craig saw some of that stuff, and he was into it. He was like, yeah, feel free to shoot some film, you know, we'll cover it, da-da-da. And so that's what happened in season one. I shot a lot of digital, because the show was shot on Alexa 65. It was digital, and it's hard to shoot a lot of film photography without flash when the show is being shot on digital, because digital doesn't need a lot of light, man. Those cameras are rated at like 800 ISO or something, you know, that's where they start, and sometimes they shoot at 1600, and it's like
film, they're pretty much night vision goggles.
Yeah, and it's hard to push film color, you know, film up to 1600 without sometimes it looking funky. It just has to be lit for film. You just need exposure. And so I started shooting flash on the show, and you have to understand, sometimes sets are, you know, oftentimes sets are very dark. And so when you use flash photography on set, for a lot of people, it's like unheard of. They're like, no, dude, that's so jarring. It's like, it's a dark set and all of a sudden you're flashing. And a lot of times in our line of work, you'll have wardrobe, you know, taking continuity photos. And, you know, a lot of times anybody, or props taking continuity photos, anytime people take photos and they have to use a flash, they'll call it out. They'll be like, flashing, just so it's, you know, it's not as such a surprise to people. And so I just took a chance. I'm like, you know what? These kids are young. They seem like they want their photos taken. I'm just going to start flashing and see what I get. And it was received well. They were cool with it, you know. And I think that show, even though it was very dark, they used a lot of like neon lights. And so I just thought I could get away with it. And I did. And that's how I shot, you know, season one, with a lot of flash photography. And I felt comfortable. I was like, oh, okay. I created a relationship with the cast, and they know this is how I shoot. And the networks, they loved it. And then for season two, they were just like, hey, the only note we have is for you to shoot more film. You know, we loved all the stuff, just shoot more film, you know. And it was such a, creatively, it was so nice to just kind of like go in and be trusted to do, kind of like to shoot in the way that, you know, I shoot. And there was like no limit to like the film budget. They were just like, go for it, you know. That's nice.
A dream. That's really a dream.
Yeah. So
having a client tell you, yeah, no matter what it costs, just buy all the film you need and then go for it. That's just crazy. That never happens nowadays. Never.
Really? Yeah, I guess not. I mean, yeah, they probably always have some kind of number in mind. Like, don't shoot more than this. But yeah, it was nice. I didn't take it for granted. I was so grateful, and it was a dream project. You know, it was super fun, and then I went from Euphoria to season two to Idol, And Idol was like amazing too, because it was, we shot two versions. The first version was digital. And so I was having a really hard time shooting film. And I was like shooting, trying out a new stock. CineStill had given me a bunch of film to try out. And I was like, ah, this is really hard. It's like not lit for film. It's super dark and it's having the same issues. And then version one kind of went away and then they revamped it. And then version two, you know, Marcel and Sam came in and it was decided we're going to shoot on 35 mil. And I was like, yes, because Marcel.
Finally.
Marcel could light the most beautiful, you know, film sets. And all the CineStill, you know, film stock, especially their 800T, it worked out so well. It was like my go-to stock for in-scene unit, for behind the scenes. I would, you know, shoot a lot of flash and kind of gel the flash, put a CTO gel over the flash and balance the white balance and look good. And then they came out with like 400D and that looked good. And so, and that show was also, you know, HBO. And so they were just like, yeah, just shoot more film and, you know, maybe a little less black and white. And that kind of bummed me out. I was like, really? Like, I love black and white. That's like, and then CineStill had the black and white XS, double X, and that was a really cool film stock. But you know, they still let me shoot black and white. And I shot, I think, to my heart's content. And then last summer I was able to do this exhibit at the Leica Gallery here in LA of the Idol photos. It was kind of a collaboration with Leica, CineStill, and the Idol. So that was very special to me too. It was like my first time exhibiting and it was so fun. That night was so fun and it was so cool to just be able to showcase at a place like the Leica Gallery. So
yes, it's really amazing that your preferred choice of, well, photography matches the aesthetics of the series in those cases, because they decided to keep on shooting on film, which makes it very, very interesting for you and for all the promotion stuff to also be shot on film, because it matches the feel and the whole ambiance that happens in the series too.
Absolutely, yeah. And it doesn't happen all the time, so when it does, it's like such a nice thing, you know. It's so cool that it worked out like that. I'm grateful for those moments, because I know not every project is going to be like that. So
has working on those projects helped you to kind of I don't know how to put it, develop your artistic voice, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely, that makes sense. I think so. It's like, it's honestly, okay, because I feel like in my line of work, like the unit photography, the still photography on set is, a lot of people could do it, right? I truly feel that way, because you're on a set that's lit. It's lit for you, and it's lit by some of the, you know, best gaffers in our industry, the best DPs. And so you show up and you come to this beautiful set and you have the production value, right? You have, like, we're shooting in Abel's mansion. We shot at the Weeknd's house all, you know, last summer, you know, for the Idol, or two summers ago. And so you got this production, you know, production value, and it's lit for you, and you go in there. And for me, it's not about just standing next to like a camera and like getting the same exact frame as a camera, because as a still photographer, as one person, you know, you can move around pretty easily and find different angles. And so that's what makes it, you know, I think, different and special. If you could kind of find your own angle, it's kind of like being a photojournalist, but instead of being on a war zone, you're on set, right? And so, and there's certain things you need to avoid. You got to avoid actors' eye line sometimes. You don't want to stand right in their eye line. You want to like give them their space to like give their best performance, and you kind of find the angles that work. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the angles you have doesn't work, you know. And I feel like me finding my creative voice, that was when I was able to like pull them aside. I have like 2 minutes with them. I could get a special kind of photo because I have this like moment with them to do something. And then, you know, flash photography obviously is something I love doing, just because sometimes you need the light, you need that exposure, and it's fun to have like snapshots like that, these quick like flash snapshots for me. And and when you're on set with, you know, with the cast for and the crew members for like X amount of time, these shows are long, they're like 8 months long, you know, you create a really good relationship with them, and they trust, they've seen your work, so they trust like what you do, the value that you bring, and so they'll give you that time to like, you know, give you a look, or, you know, let them pull them aside for like, you know, 5 minutes to do a, you know, a quick like shoot with them. So that's all very like part of, I think, the creative process and how I found, you know, my artistic kind of you know, way.
When you look back at all the work that you've done during the past couple of years, how do you introduce yourself when you describe your job? Do you see yourself rather as an artist, or, if I can call it like that, service provider? So how do you feel about the work that you do? How would you describe it?
I think it's a combination of both. Like, we're definitely providing a service, right? Because we have a client that is expecting a certain product at the end. And so it's like, yeah, we're providing a service. But it's bridging art and commerce, right? It's like you want to bridge those two. And I feel like some of the most successful photographers that I look up to are able to bridge the two. Like, they could bring their art, but then also get paid shit tons of money for it. So like, that's like every artist's dream, you know, every creative's dream is to be able to bridge that. Yeah. And then, you know, like even sitting in yesterday's meeting with the agency, you know, they were very open and honest with me, and they kind of laid it out. Some projects have big budgets and some have smaller budgets. So it's just like, I feel like I've been told this, you know, growing up, well, and, you know, while I was working, and, you know, I tell other creatives the same thing, like, charge what you think your time is worth, you know? There's no, like, I mean, there's kind of a standard, right? Like, for certain things, like, on-set photography we do, there's a standard rate, you know, that we should not go below and stuff like that. But, you know, for a lot of projects, it's just, like, charge what you believe you're worth, you know? The thing that I hate the most is like you take a project at a rate that you don't feel like is worth your time. And then you like you're on that job begrudgingly and you're, you know, like upset and, you know, like then don't do it. You know, you're not going to produce the best work. There's a photographer that I know. He doesn't want to know how much he gets paid. Like from his agent, he's like, I don't want to know. And his wife is like his studio manager, so she takes all the checks. But he created this relationship where he trusts his agent to like bring him, you know, the best jobs and the jobs that suit him. But he never wants to know how much he gets paid, because if he does, it might change the way he views the client. So I think that's amazing. It's very out of the box kind of, you know, thinking. So
how would you decide if you had to choose between a job that gets you a shitload of money and another job who pays okay, but you have the artistic freedom to express yourself in your photography the way that you feel is the best or represents you as an artist the most?
I like it. I like the hard-hitting questions, man. It's like, be a sellout or like be creative? No, I mean, that's interesting. I think it depends, you know? It's like, yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like, we all want to get paid, man. It's like, this is our livelihood. And I mean, I think it's okay to take a big paying project that's like not that creative once in a while, but definitely line up a bunch of like creative projects, and also shoot your own shit, you know, like you know, go out and do personal projects, because that's also what keeps you, like, you know, on point and creative and relevant. And it's hard to do. It's hard to self-assign projects, you know, like when I'm working, like, on set, like, for instance, that movie, like I said, I couldn't do anything else. Like, you know, it was hard for me to even think about, like, oh, what could I do as a personal project? Like, forget about it. You're just, like, on set too much. The bandwidth is just, it's just not there to take on anything. But to answer your question, yeah, I think it's important to, you know, seize the moments that you can. If you could get on a job that pays you tons of money, like, yeah, do it. Obviously, do it for the money, because then you could use that money to fund your own personal shit, you know? Like, and a lot of, like, my really good friend, Ben Morris, he does that all the time. He's a great, great fashion photographer. I look up to him so much, and, you know, his shit is always on my mood boards. And he's done, like, you know, big commercial jobs, you know, that pays, like, tens of thousands of dollars. But then he'll take a lot of that money and put it into his editorial stuff, because editorial doesn't really pay, you know, and, you know, they'll give you, like, $1,000 to shoot this, you know, spread, this cover or something. But then he'll dump, like, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000 of his own money in, because he wants a certain stylist, he wants a certain location, you know. So yeah, take those big paying jobs, but then use it for your own shit too. So
that's probably the way to go. I know that there's another photographer from New York, Joey Lawrence is his name, and he also shoots a bunch of really high commercial stuff. And he does that for 6 months of the year. And for the other 6 months of the year, he just travels mostly through Africa and does, like, the most crazy documentary photography on medium format Facebook
lit cameras. Yeah,
exactly. It's so crazy. It's so amazing. It has huge expositions and books and all that stuff. And yeah, he really mastered this splitting between the huge paid gigs and then his personal projects. And just the stuff that he does is just, it's just beyond amazing.
It's crazy. He cracked the code. Yeah. It's absolutely doable. It's absolutely doable. I remember him when he first started out, when he was, like, super young. I think I saw him on, like, do you remember Flickr? I don't know how old you are, but Flickr. I saw him on Flickr, like, back in the day. This was, like, I mean, like, 15 years ago or something. Yeah. So I remember him. And that also goes to show, like, the people that, you know, that really love photography, we've been doing it for a while. We're going to keep doing it, you know, because it's like the only thing we know how to do. So it's like, there's no going back, like, or pivoting to something completely different. It's just, you know, it's just going to be photography for us. So yeah, I love it. And, you know, but yeah, I remember Joey from, like, way back in the day. Yeah. His work. Yeah.
I think he started doing those huge campaigns at the age of 19 or 20. So it was crazy.
I think
he
shot, like, Twilight. Like, I think that was one of his big gigs, like the key art for Twilight.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. That's possible.
I remember that. Yeah, his photography matches that. His aesthetic matches that kind of, you know, it's like very, very lit kind of portraiture stuff. So, but I've also seen his stuff from, like, his travel stuff, like in Africa and stuff like that. He'll go to, like, rural, you know, villages. And it's cool because it's like, his assistant holds a big Profoto backpack with a pack inside, and then they just kind of, like, you know, like Mickey Mouse, the head, like, hold it, and, like, he'll shoot on a phase one or something, like a medium format digiback, and it's cool. It's like, that's his personal project. Yeah. And when you shoot personal projects like that, when they're, like, you know, when you really, they're thoughtful, and, you know, the photos you have are well curated, that helps you get a bunch of other jobs, a bunch of other, you know, commercial jobs. So it's this, you know, it kind of just feeds itself. But yeah, essentially it's cracking the code. Yeah. It's like, you have to create the kind of work that you want to be hired to do. So
exactly, but that can, like you said, that can be tough when you work on other jobs. And in those moments, I really miss the good old times when I went to university to study photography, where you have those assignments given to you, and then you're forced to work on those different kind of projects. And when you're just working all day every day, it can get really, really hard to motivate yourself and to find the energy and the resources to kind of give yourself your own assignments to work on. That's really, it can be really tough.
Right. Absolutely. That's cool. Yeah. You went to, you were like classically trained. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
I wish I went to school for photography. Yeah, I really do. That's very cool.
I'm not always sure if studying photography helped me, because I feel like that the way that I shoot now came from doing what I did during the last years. And when I look back at what I did back in university, it was a whole different level, a whole different style. But what it really taught me was to be artistically open to so much stuff, and accepting and finding inspiration in art that I might not understand or might not even like, but still be able to see the beauty and see the artistic value and stuff that otherwise would have seemed hideous or ugly or whatever to me. So that's something that I think can be really, really helpful, not only in your art, but also in life in general, to be open to many, many different sorts and kinds of seeing the world. That's really a big selling point to that.
I think that's so valuable. And if you were able to take that away from, you know, being classically trained, that's like, I think that's all of it. Yeah, that's so amazing. Yeah.
Do you also have to, when I come back to Euphoria or The Idol, because those are both shows that have very, very dark themes and very, very dark things happening. Do you need to be, or do you need to have an open mind to work on a project or work on a show that has so many topics that actually you need to be open to accept and think about them and understand them? Like for instance, with Euphoria, you have transsexuality, you have all those different kinds of ways to live and to love. And it seems like to me that even if you're just the set photographer, you still have to kind of, I don't know, understand and put a value on those different opinions and ways.
Yeah, I think... I mean, we try to keep the set, you know, because we're dealing with such intense and sometimes dark, you know, subject matters. I think most people on set are pretty lighthearted, you know, we try to keep it pretty light. And like, to be honest, like while we're doing it, while we're filming, it's never as serious or dark as when you watch the show. Like I rewatched season two, like, a few weeks ago. I just kind of had it on, and you know, I mean, the cinematography is beautiful, and like, I just like how stylistic it is. And even last night, I started watching season one, episode one, 'cause it's been so long. I'm like, what did we shoot? Like, how did we shoot it? And season one and two are so different in the way that it was shot. You know, and you know, the colors they used, and you know, digital versus film and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think it's ever, I mean, there are definitely like scenes that command a very, you know, serious performance from a lot of the actors, you know, on that show. And yeah, as a set photographer, I mean, you pull back when you feel like, hey, I got to give them the room for them to do that, you know. But honestly, they're such pros. Like Zendaya is such a pro that I think in episode 5 of season 2, when they had the intervention episode, and she was like kicking down doors and, you know, crying and sobbing and, you know, telling Jules, She fucking hates her. Like, I was like right next to Marcel as he was handheld. I was like literally like peeking over the shoulder, and you know, when they yell cut, I was still snapping. You know, they're just very pro. They're all those kids, you know, Hunter, Zendaya, who else was in that scene? Nika, the mom, they just like, you know, do your thing. And I did. And, you know, I don't go crazy. I do my shots and I, you know, give them the space, but they definitely, they're such professionals. It's like, it's so awesome to work with talent like that. But as far as like the mood on set or dealing with that subject matter, I think it's amazing that Sam, you know, puts those stories out there. I think it's, and he captures it in such an authentic and like beautiful way. So yeah, I love how he's able to do that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, I mean, on set, I don't feel like a certain way. Yeah. I'm there for the visuals.
And you're doing an amazing job. Speaking of visuals, I talked about inspiration a few minutes ago. What are your sources of inspiration? Do you tend to consume Ars photography that has a similar style to what you do, or do you tend more to seeking inspiration in stuff that's just vastly different from your style and your approach?
I think it's a little bit of both, I think. But yeah, I look at a lot of photography, like I'll look at a lot of fashion photography, because it's like, it's different than what I do on set. But there's like, there's crossovers, right? Because they're obviously in wardrobe and costume sometimes, and the costumes are, you know, well thought out by the costume designers. So yeah, it's like, how do I approach this? Like, I love editorial stuff, you know, and so I feel like the photographs I try to capture on set, you know, besides the traditional publicity stills, we call them unit stills, is how do I capture unit photography in an editorial style, you know, so it feels loose and it feels uncurated and genuine, you know. And so and that I lend it to a lot of like looking through a lot of like fashion magazines, you know, like and then yeah, just editorial stuff. I just love editorials. I think that's such a cool way to shoot. That's how I shoot. That's very aligned with my style. You know, it's just like walk towards me and I'll, you know, take a bunch of photos. It's hard for me to like, you know, really pose somebody in a unnatural way. But I also feel like it's a really good skill set to have, to be able to like direct. And I've had to learn how to do that, because a lot of times the difference between shooting actors and models are actors need a lot more direction. They want it. They're used to it. They're used to a director saying, hey, for this scene, I want you to invoke this kind of emotion and act this way. And models, I remember the big difference, you know, between shooting an actor and model, like the first time I shot a model, maybe not the first time, but like every time I shoot a model, I'm like, damn, they just know, they hear the camera shutter, and then they'll pose, they'll do a different pose, and then you give them a little direction, how about that, that looked great, but try this. So that's really cool. I think that's really fun. But with an actor, it's like a lot more direction has to happen, and otherwise it's just like two people like staring at each other like, what do you want me to do? And you're like, it could get a little awkward. So but anyways, all really good skill sets to learn. But yeah, I draw a lot of my inspiration from fashion, you know. I think fashion photography is super cool. And maybe that's something I've always wanted to, you know, do. And but instead, you know, I live in LA, and a big part of Los Angeles is entertainment photography, and I kind of fell into, you know, shooting stills on set. So, yeah.
But would you want to develop in that direction in the future? Maybe also shooting fashion editorial stuff like that?
I think, you know, there's room to make that kind of pivot, you know, to shooting, you know, editorial stuff. Because I'm already doing that on set, right? It's like, I'm going, you know, out of town for a project in next month, and it's on set, but they're bringing me in to do a lot of these like pool asides, like specialty, mm-hmm. you know, shoots with these actors. And so even last night, you know, I was like feeling super inspired, you know, very high off of that meeting I had, and then smoked some weed after dinner, so even higher. And so I like texted the photo producer at like 11:30 at night. I'm like, hey, could I get a stylist to pull some looks for these actors? And then she responded right away, which was awesome, amazing. I didn't expect that. She was like, why not? Dream big. Let's see what we could get away with. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you know? And so, and so it's nice to be able to, like, you know, have that creative freedom again on a project like that. Like, oh, I could, you know, because it's one thing to shoot, I think, photograph, you know, actors in character. But it's also, you know, completely different when you could take them out of character and then dress them up in a certain way and, like, shoot them differently. So, so yeah, I'm really, you know, looking forward to doing that with that project. Yeah.
So you would also feel comfortable when we talked about fashion editorial to create all those scenes or sceneries that you now shoot when you're doing the series where they're all prepared, light is set and all that stuff. Would you feel interested in doing that by yourself or for fashion sets? Because right now you really have it's really a luxurious position to just come in like you chose these onto those amazing sets which are lit perfectly, and then you have people like Zendaya and Hunter and all those amazing charismatic people. That's like a photographic dream land that you're working on. Would you be interested in creating that by, or trying to create stuff like that by yourself for, let's say, fashion editorials? So really taking the whole direction of that?
It's like, it's always like, I look at things on like a level of scale, right? It's like, how far do you want it to go? You could absolutely, you know, create a whole set yourself, you know, like production designer and, you know, hire somebody like a gaffer, somebody, a lighting tech just to light for you, light in the way that you want. Yeah, it's like endless. It's just how big of a scale is it? I like doing smaller scale stuff personally because I feel like you have a more intimate, you know, there's more intimacy with that subject matter. It's not so much about like, oh, look at, you know, like all this we set up for you. I've done shoots like that where, like, you know, in my line of work, we call them like key art shoots or gallery shoots where, you know, we, like the movie I shot, I was the unit photographer on it, but then they asked me to shoot the key art. You know, that's when you get all the talent in front of a seamless background, you light it, and then you shoot them, and then I'm sure they're going to comp everything together and make a poster out of it. So I've done those, and it's like, those are cool. The money's good. You know, you get paid, you know, a usage fee and everything, the rate's higher. But, you know, you got like tons of people around you, right? You know, you got clients watching by the Digitech and, you know, which could be nice, you know, because then, you know, creative directors there, they know what they're getting. They see it. We're good. We got it, you know. So that's all nice. But you kind of lose, I think, that intimacy with that subject, you know. And that's why I like the scale a lot smaller. And, you know, I could get away with like one or two lights or even sometimes just like on camera or just a small strobe off camera. That's all I need to really, you know, create the kind of shots that I'm really into. Yeah. I don't think you need this big production. And a lot of times it's like when you go on scouts, right? You guys call it recce's. Like, yeah, like you find so much cool shit just outside, like in your neighborhood, you know? This is a cool street to, you know, shoot on. There's all these like colored walls, or like, look at that, you know, house with the door. Like, you could just post up and stand in front of it and we could do some cool shit, you know? So it's not, I think there's so much production value, you know, just outside in your surroundings, you know?
When you live in LA, that helps.
LA, you know, but even like, I'm sure Europe, oh my God, New York is a great, you know, backdrop for
stuff.
Yeah,
amazing.
You could walk down like so many cool streets in New York and be like, yeah, I'm doing a fashion editorial here, you know, like, why not? LA, yeah, we have our spots, yeah. We just have really good weather. Like, it's fantastic. Look at this, it rained last night and then now it's like...
Yeah.
It's
always
like,
always sunny, basically.
Always sunny, yeah. So that's the nice thing about LA. You could always shoot outside. You could utilize like the natural light, you know, just find open shade or find ways to like shape natural light. That's really what I prefer, right? Like if you could shape natural light, dude, that's, I feel like, the most beautiful light in the world. And there's photographers that, you know, really do it well. They try to mimic natural light. Like Leibovitz, Annie Leibovitz, I think she has a really good team of like, you know, assistants, lighting techs that could help her replicate natural light, you know, because they'll meter for like ambient, right? And then they'll use like strobes, just maybe a third over ambient, just so there's a nice little pop, but it still looks natural. And they'll shape it, you know, with a bunch of like, you know, black flags or foam core, so it has like such nice fall off, a soft fall off, and you're just like, it, you can't even tell that's lit, you know, almost. So but they're all lit most of the time, so but that's the magic, I feel like, in doing that.
Do you know the work of Gregory Crutzen?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I was thinking about the whole time, because I feel like his aesthetic and his moods sometimes reminds me a bit of the Euphoria mood, for instance, because it's always very, very dark, and then you have those very very clever used lights in his scenes, and it's always nostalgic and a little bit dark, and you know that something's going on, but you're not quite sure what. That's really setting the light 101 class, what he does, because I mean his photo sets are like big movie sets for one photo
that he takes.
It's
absolutely
so amazing.
It's so crazy. He'll bring in like cranes to light something, you know, overhead, and like, and it's just like a suburban street, right? And then you have like, you know, a window on in a house in the back, and then like a car with its door open but the headlights are on. You're like, what the fuck is happening? So his shit, I don't know for sure, but I feel like Sam and Marcel like definitely had Crutzen's like photos on their mood boards. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Had to be.
Yeah, it's so
sometimes
similar.
When you roll up on the Euphoria set when we're shooting on location, you're like, oh yeah, this is a Crutzen like production, like. Yeah, so...
Yeah, but the production value is basically the same, because he lights his sets like you would do in a big Hollywood movie.
Huge,
it's insane.
Yeah. Huge production value. So I guess, for me, cracking the code in that aspect would be creating scenes like that without it feeling like it's such a big production, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Leibovitz, when she lights... for exterior, you know, portraiture, and she wants to make it feel like it's all natural light, but when you pull back, it's like all these flags and like lights and like, but when you look at a photo, you're like, oh, this was shot available light, natural light, but it's not. So it's making people feel like it is when it's so produced. That's kind of cool too.
That's the magic.
That's magic, exactly. I don't have that magic. I feel like that magic is so hard to create. So yeah, so my style is like more off the cuff, more, I just want to be able to have like an intimate moment with that subject and capture some in-between moment that you can only do when you have that close proximity with that subject, yeah. You know? I think that's very special. But that's the beauty of photography. There's so many ways to photograph something, you know?
Exactly.
I think one of the coolest things I saw as a kid was there was some publication, I forget what publication, some editorial magazine, but they sent three photographers to cover the same event. And the photographs were so different, you mm-hmm. know, from these three photographers. But they, you know, put it into a spread. And it was so awesome because it was like the same scene, but it was so different the way these photographers captured it. So, yeah.
That's amazing. When you talk about trying to capture those intimate moments, do you feel that you ever, when you, for instance, on a set of Euphoria, you have like 2 minutes to take a quick portrait with Hunter, for instance. Do you ever have the feeling that, okay, now I've created a moment where Hunter is 100% herself and not in character, not in her model alter ego, but really 100% herself? Is that possible when you're surrounded by such a big set and so many people?
I think that's a matter of like the relationship you're able to create with them. Like, and actors, I feel like, they're interesting, you know, because the least method actor, I feel like, is still somewhat method, you know, mm-hmm. they're all, especially on set, they've always kind of like, are somewhat in character. But yeah, I've had moments where like, I'm trying to think, who am I like? Oh, like Sid Sweeney. She's, you know, I've like been able to really create a relationship with her, and she's a pro at what she does. She could be in character like that, but I also feel like she could come out of character too. And I could get a very genuine moment of like, oh, that's so Sid. That's just Sid being Sid. I was able to do, I think, a lot of that on her last film. It was a rom-com. It was much light, you know, it's very lighthearted. It was such
Anyone
a fun set
you,
to be
right?
on. Anyone but you. It was so fun to be on. She created, and she was able to create that kind of atmosphere for all her castmates. Because she's really just like that. She's just a very down to earth, you know, fun person. And she's so nice to be around and so authentic and genuine. And yeah, there's plenty of moments that were just so genuine. That's just Sid, you know. That's not any character she's in or trying to play. So, yeah, those moments are possible. If you're able to create that kind of relationship with them, they feel comfortable with you. And also, depends on the talent, the actor. So.
But what you're describing there is like, really, at the end of the day, it's like 90% of our job as photographer is to be able to build those relations, to create an atmosphere where people feel comfortable and where they're able to give you what you need for your visuals.
Right. Yeah. And it's those are the soft skills that people don't ever teach you, right? Like, how do you just kind of like, you have to pick that up as you go, as you're learning, you know? And it's it's so funny how soft of a skill it is, and to be personable. And a lot of times, you don't get a lot of time with these people, right? It's like, you got 15 minutes. We need this. And you have to like coax that out of them. Sometimes it's easy. You go in and, you know, you click and, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, you know, I need this. Can you get that? And, you have to direct in a sense, right? Direct, the subject and, to get what you need. And you know, the mark of a good director is like, you're able to talk to every individual in a way that they understand what you need from them. You know, it's like, you can't talk to everybody the same way, because some people could resonate well with you if you talk to them in a certain way, and some people are just like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean by that? So So you really have to like, yeah, it's such a soft skill. You have to like be able to connect with them, you know, in a way that, yeah, they feel comfortable and they most importantly understand you when you communicate with them. So.
Does that always work? Because I mean, I can only imagine, I mean, you've been doing your job for a decade now or even longer. But I can imagine myself having trouble doing that when sometimes, depending on who you work with, I mean, you still can get starstruck just a little bit when you work with those people, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, it's like I fall back on the fact that I'm on set with these people for a long duration of time. So I pick and choose the moments, right? Like, is that shot worth fighting for? Because on set, you have to understand that the still photographer, we're at the bottom of the, like this totem pole, we're at the very bottom. It's like production has to like shoot this film or this show and they're on a timeline, they have to get what they need to get. And if there is time, if there are moments and you have to pick and choose those moments as a photographer, get in and get what you need. You know, they never like, they hardly, I won't say never, but they hardly stop to like, okay, the stills guy needs this shot. Sometimes, you know, we get that stoppage or, you know, it comes from marketing or something. They're like, we really need this as a setup or whatever. And we're able to get that. But yeah, it's the fact that I'm on set for a long time. So, you know, how do I create the best relationship with not just talent, but like everybody, like crew, you know, and the director where like he trusts. Like, I think it took Sam and I like maybe a whole like season, you know, we shot all of season one and then we did those two special episodes in between during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then season two, you know, somewhere into season two, he started to like, you know, like trust what I was doing. That's how I feel, you know. And then on Idol, it was like Sam, you know, like he, okay, he knows me now. Like I know what Eddie does, you know. I know what value he brings on set, and yeah, do your thing, you know. Which is, you know, it took like, oh my God, like 3 years to create that relationship with Sam. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like that with talent, you know, you can't really get really intimate with them until you had this very long courtship or something, you know, like you're familiar to them and they see you. So, but yeah, all in all, I feel like just be yourself and be nice. Like, you know, if you don't get that shot, it's not the end of the world. You know, don't, some photographers on set, they'll fight for every shot. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to rub them the wrong way and it's going to like backfire on you. It's going to backfire on other photographers that work on set with these people because they're just going to have, you know, a bad experience or they're just going to have a bad taste in their mouth. And it's like, don't do that. You know, we're just making TV shows or movies at the end of the day. We're not saving lives. And so if you miss that shot, it's okay. You know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities, you know, so yeah, there's that, you know, you got to approach it like that, or that's how I approach it.
After having worked for so many years on film sets, do you feel like you have still room to grow in that sort of photography, or do you feel like, okay, at some point in the next couple of years, you need to shift your focus on something else to be able to, yeah, to grow as an artist, to further grow and to experience other kinds of work of art. And learn more about yourself, because that's with artists is always the same thing. We learn so much about ourselves when we keep on exploring different fields, different topics and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's always a further insight into like how we really view the world, you know, with, you know, our creativity. And I love the set stuff, but yeah, I want to transition out of like being on set every day shooting, you know, unit photography, and doing a little bit more creative stuff, like going into a set for a week or two at a time, and just doing specialty photography, you know, like these pull aside portraits or like these setup shots. And yeah, that's what I feel like I'm already pivoting towards. And, you know, obviously, you know, being with the agency, I want to be able to get commercial jobs, you know, that pay lots of money so I could then do my own stuff with it, you know. And but yeah, I think I'm in a good place. I'm in a very exciting place because there's a lot of changes right now, and I think I'm ready for it. I've been doing unit photography I've been in the union for over 10 years now, you know, doing a lot of this. And I think I was able to create kind of like a niche way of shooting stills on set, or not even niche, just a different way of shooting stills on set, right? Like this editorial approach. And so so yeah, I'm into that. It's like it's cool. I think I'm just really excited about where I'm gonna go from here.
And I mean, maybe there's still enough room to reinvent yourself. I mean, it's not that all set photography gets exposed in a Leica gallery, for instance. I think that proves that the stuff that you did there is more than this classic yeah. coverage that you would expect for publicity and marketing and all that stuff. There has to be some artistic value that just exceeds the standard that you're used to be able to pull that off, and to have so much attention drawn to your work.
Right. Yeah. And I talked to everybody, you know, I talked to about like, how I started in, you know, unit photography and stills. I tell them that it's like, I got to a place where I was like, oh, everything looks the same. Like, and I feel like as creatives, as artists, we always want to like stand out, you know, and set ourselves apart. Like, and when somebody looks at something, they're like, oh, I know who did that. You know, that's Crutzen's work, or, you know. So for stills on set, I was like, how do I do that? How do I do that? Like, you know, and going back to my buddy Ben, he gave me a lot of inspiration because, you know, I was hanging out with Ben a lot at the time, and we shoot completely different things. He shoots a lot of fashion editorial. I shoot stills on set. And he was like, you shoot film. Why don't you just like take your dad's film camera to set and like shoot film, you know, shoot it loose, shoot it, you know, like Dutch angles. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, cool, I'll try that. So, you know, it was really this like, you know, push from him that like I took the cameras to set and film cameras, and then, you know, started shooting it a little bit looser. Like, cause I kid you not, there were networks that would send you photo standards, you know, like the specs that they need. And then one of them was like, please shoot in straight horizons and verticals, straight lines. And I'm like,
of course,
what?
Of course.
Like, you can't like Dutch angle this shit. And so, you know, and you know, I love shooting dirty, you know, putting shit in front of the lens and, you know, like, what is that? You know, is that the finger? Is that light bleed or whatever? So I think that all makes it interesting. At the end of the day, it's just like, I want people to look at a photo and be like, oh, that's interesting. You know, just to ask questions like, what's happening here? You know, and I think like we were talking about Gregory Crutzen, that's what he does, right? He
creates exactly. these
like crazy visuals, and you're just like, what the fuck is happening right here? Like, did somebody die? Is this a crime scene? Like, you never know. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't show anything, but you also you ask yourself so many questions.
But he shows so much at the same time.
He shows nothing but yet so much at the same time. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's so cool. So photography, yeah, there is no end to like how to create visuals and how to showcase them. And, you know, and I think, you know, what school did for you, open your eye to like appreciate all forms of art. Like, I feel like I only have photography, you know, and I appreciate all kinds of photography. I think there's value in all types of photography. Yeah. Not all of them, I feel like, you know, it's my style, but I still find like value to them. Like, and when you come across a photograph or a style of photography that really works for you know, whatever the subject matter is, it's so cool. You're like, oh my God, this is exactly how this photo should have been shot, you know? So I feel like sometimes you come across stuff like that.
Before I end this really amazing podcast episode that I appreciate so much, do you remember when you got your first scans back that you did on set, where you saw your work, saw a whole different moods compared to the digital stuff that you just saw before, and how it felt like to have this in your hands and see, okay, I might be onto something here.
That's such an insightful, thoughtful question. I like immediately went to Euphoria, but I was like, wait, that's not the first show I shot that film on. It was Animal Kingdom, and it was cool because that show I feel like had a cool aesthetic, and I liked the show. I watched the show. It was like, it was based on an Australian movie of the same name, Animal Kingdom, which was, you know, a family of career criminals. And I think it was like season maybe 2 or 3 I was on it. But yeah, I got the scans back. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I have all these like candid moments, and some of them aren't even candid. It's just like moments where the talent's just like not even in character, and they're looking at me, they're messing around with me, they're coming up to my lens, and I'm just shooting, and they're like grabbing my lens, and you know, it looks really cool. Yeah, I remember those moments. I'm like, oh, this is different. This is what I want to do. Like, this is how the direction I want to go in. Like, make it more editorial, make it loose, try to get these behind the scenes moments, trying to get these very like engaging moments with the camera. And I feel like I have one of those shots on my website. Let me see if I can find it. It should be under editorial unit, Animal Kingdom. Is there a way to link you something?
Yeah, of course. You can just put it here in the chat, and I can then I put it in the show notes.
Wait, what?
To this episode, so that people who listen to that episode can see what you're talking about and what you sent me. So I just link it in the description.
Dude, I shit you not. Where is our window? Like, where did it go? Wait. Oh, here, right here. I know. I'm so bad at, like, so bad at this. But, like, I think this was one of the moments I was like, oh, yeah. Like, why can't I shoot like this? This is on film. This is, like, fuck yeah. I'll do this. I want to do stuff like this.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, this was, like, right before they're going to start rolling. And, you know, I had known Jake for, like, seasons now. And, you know, he was, you know, we were friends. I shot him outside of work, too. And so when I, you know, every time he sees me on set, you know, he'll come up to me and we'll chit-chat. And he'll kind of fuck with me. And, you know, like, why not? Like, turn these in. They're like, wait, how did you get these shots? You know, like, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm friends with him. I, like, got to know him. I've been on this show for, like, 4 seasons now, you know? You're going to create these relationships. And so I think it was very smart of the photo producers, you know, at that, you know, at TNT photo department to be like, cool, let's utilize this. Let's utilize these relationships that you have with these people and, you know, get in there, get in their faces. And if they allow you in, then do it. And that's what happened on Euphoria. You know, it's like, you know, they were a young cast when they first started. And then, you know, by season 2, it was like, yeah, come into our makeup trailer. Like, tell me, what'd you do this weekend? And, you know, as I'm in there, I'm like taking photos of them. And those are the things that I think a lot of people want to see, right? Like behind the scenes. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so, and that's all, you know, that's only possible when you're able to like create these relationships with people. So.
And as far as I'm concerned, you do a tremendous job creating those experiences and
thank you
turning
so
those
much.
Into images.
Thank you.
Really, really, really amazing. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. And I'm just, like I told you, beyond grateful that you took the time to be on this podcast, that you answered all those questions and that you talk so much about your photography and working on those shows and doing all that stuff. Really, really grateful. I could keep talking to you for hours.
I gotta go to Germany and hang out with you.
Yeah, exactly.
With our baby.
You have to do that. Yeah.
Imagine
that's
that.
That's a good idea.
Going to a pub, having a beer, and just holding our babies.
Like, yeah. That's an amazing idea. You have to come in. We'll meet in Berlin or Munich or one of those.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because I've never been, but I know, like, there's such a good art scene out there. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have an amazing art scene here in Germany.
Oh, my gosh. It'll happen. We'll make it happen.
Definitely.
We've got to make it happen, Giannis.
So thank you so much. And thank you also to everybody outside listening to this episode. I promise you the next time it will be in German again. For some of you, it might be a little difficult to listen to this in English, but I just had to do everything I needed to get such an amazing artist here on the show. And so we'll hear each other again next week with another episode. Take care of yourself. And Eddie, if you have any last words to add, now's your chance.
Oh my God. Keep shooting, guys. You'll discover, you know, something that you didn't know existed inside of you when you do it. That creativity, just let it flow.
Those are amazing last words. And now I just want to say bye bye. See you next week. Ciao.